David was a great writer and a great poet, but he was not some secular singer or poet. In fact, his writings were actually inspired by God. His life was filled with many conflicts, many lows, but also is filled with songs. We analyze the Psalms of David. There are some observations we can make. Seldom does David write a psalm that does not mention his enemies, and seldom does David write a psalm that does not feature him praying. What we may take from this is that David's greatest weapon against his enemies was his prayer life. When David's enemies were talking about him with each other, David was talking about them with God. David became a friend of God, and God became David's best friend. In fact, David came to realize that God was the only one he could really trust. Psalm 64 is a psalm of David. It's written for the choir director, which means David wrote it for the purpose of having it publicly communicated at worship services. And the theme of psalm is one we've seen a lot of times. We find ourselves afraid because we are surrounded by enemies who are out to destroy us. We may find our refuge by praying to God, knowing that he will take care of our enemies and he will take care of us. Godly, faithful people do have enemies. And those enemies are sometimes sent by Satan, and Satan and his forces are trying to discourage and destroy faithful people. But if faithful people go to the Lord and pray, and faithful people purpose to remain faithful, they will discover that God will take care of the enemies and take care of his people. It's a powerful psalm. This Psalm 64 displays the power of God. It's a personal psalm. It's written by a real person who had real personal needs. It's a practical psalm. And we all at times find ourselves in trouble. It's a prayerful psalm. All psalms teach us the importance of prayer, and it's a positive psalm. It gives positive hope when things are negative. It's a purposeful psalm. It teaches us to pray specifically when facing our enemies. What did David desire from God? Well, look at verses 1 and 2. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throng of evildoers. David was afraid. David was alone. David was outnumbered. David did the only thing he knew to do, pray. David asked God to hear his complaining voice. Spurgeon said that what we see here is David's real weapon of war. David's refuge was prayer. There were times when that is all he had and all he could do. When we need to remember this, there are times when we need to remember our hope is not in a politician or a statesman or an educator. Our hope is not in our vote or our guns. It's with God. And then David asked God to preserve his threatened life. David was fully aware that his enemy was out to take his life. David asked God to hide him from secret counsel. One of the biggest threats against any godly person is secret plots. Evil minds love secrecy. People right with God are upfront. They're straight shooters. David asked God to hide him from the tumult. The Hebrew word tumult includes the idea of verbal rage. These people were making a lot of noise against David. Look carefully at the language David used to describe these people. They're his enemies. They're evildoers. They're doing iniquity. These were very religious people who regularly went to worship services in Israel. These were people who gave the external expression that they were truly right with God. God says, call on me in times of trouble. Martin Luther said, except under troubles, trials, and vexations, prayer cannot rightly be made. Without trouble, it's only bald, prattling, and not from the heart. It's better to have a heart without words than words without heart. Need teaches us to pray. Prayer is our key weapon in times of trouble. And what David's enemies were doing to him, look at verses 3 through 6. Who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. They hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see them? they search out injustice, saying, "We have accomplished a diligent search for the inward mind and heart of a man are deep." We get a vivid description how diabolical people operate in these verses. David's enemies were attacking him verbally. Mark this and mark this point well. The weapon that is most often used by enemies and the weapon that is most vicious is the weapon of words. And David's enemies were attacking him secretly. Don't kid yourself. Your enemies are involved in these kind of things. They'll walk up to you and introduce themselves. They will not say, "We want you to know we are out to destroy you." They're involved in secret stuff. They appear to be so concerned, so spiritual, and so religious. And his enemies were attacking him suddenly. Their attacks came quickly. Obviously, David knew what it was like to be suddenly attacked. David's enemies were attacking him without fear. Enemies of one righteous have no fear of what they're doing. They're caught up in an evil crusade. They do not fear the one they're against, and they do not fear the God of the Bible. And David's enemies were attacking him in strong unity. People who are out to destroy one godly encourages themselves. David's evil enemies were bound together in their resolve to destroy him. They felt so strong, so secure, so safe. The irony of this is that the one who was really right with God felt so weak, so insecure, and so threatened. Enemies have a bold confidence in what they're doing in their attack against one faithful. People doing dark things often appear to be so encouraged, so sure, so positive about the evil things they're doing, but they forgot God is monitoring them. And David's enemies were attacking him by laying snares. David's enemies were secretly spying on him, trying to trap him. This is the way evil people work. They secretly spy. People right with God try to cover someone's sin, especially if they know the person has a track record of faithfulness. People who are not right with God are out to point out any sins so they can trap the one right with God. But in the end, it's going to backfire. And David's enemies were attacking him arrogantly. These people were so arrogant that they believed that no one saw what they were doing. In fact, they saw this very thing. They boast about the fact that no one can see them or stop them. And David's enemies were attacking him unjustly. They had invented themselves things against David that were not true. They came up with a well-conceived plan to destroy him. These tactics were being used by people attacking one right with God. They were out to destroy a very faithful man of God. And what could David do? What chance did he have against this group? He could pray. That's precisely what he did. The plan of the enemies actually backfired in many ways, but one of the ways it backfired was that David grew closer to God, which ended up giving him more power and ended up destroying them. It's a very dangerous thing to attack a faithful man of God. If you find yourself under attack, get alone with God and pray. And what God would do to David's enemies. Look at verses 7 through the first part of verse 8. But God shoots his arrows at them. They are wounded suddenly. They are brought to ruin with their own tongues turned against them. Verse 7 is so important for David. He came to realize that even though they had been attacking him, Almighty God would attack them. He would shoot at them and suddenly they would be wounded. Everything they did trying to topple David would be turned against them. They would go down one by one in rapid fire succession. God often allows people to perfect their evil scheme and then suddenly he strikes. God may not keep one from doing evil, but he suddenly repay one for doing it. When God decides to use his sovereign arrows to shoot at the one that's evil, he never misses. He'll end up using their own tongues to cut their own throats. How people react when they see God destroy David's enemies. Look at the second part of verse 8 as we finish out the psalm. All who see them will wag their heads. Then all mankind fears. They tell what God has brought about and ponder what he has done. Let the righteous one rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart exult. All who see what God does to them will shake their head, shake it in derision. All who see what God does to them will fear God. All who see what God does to them will testify for God. All who are righteous will rejoice in the Lord. All who are righteous will take refuge in the Lord, and all who are righteous will glorify the Lord. So if you're godly, you'll have enemies, and those enemies will try and destroy you with their words. And when you are afraid and outnumbered and all alone, run to God in prayer. Know that just as suddenly as they try to destroy you, God will destroy them.